Hey Riders, welcome back to the Rod Pod. So excited to be back after my 1 week hiatus. Always good to be back with the boys and talking some fantasy football. With us is the usual Rogues Gallery here. We've got Brandon with us. Brandon, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great. The Bills beat the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. They're looking like the best team in football right now, so I'm doing fantastic.
You know, it's possible that the best thing that could have happened to them was the hiccup to the Steelers, shaking them and waking them.
Yep. Ever since then, they've been on a war path.
There it is. Hey, you know what? Whatever it takes, happy to provide that service for you because we needed every win we can get. Kit, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Doing good. My actual team, the Giants, doesn't have much to get excited about. Well, I guess Kadarius Toney looks like a boss. Okay, I was going to brag about my fantasy teams, which no one can verify and I could completely lie about, but instead I'll say Kadarius Toney, everyone can see, looks pretty good. I was not confident. I still think there's a chance that, drop of the bucket. We'll see if his injuries pop up or anything, but it's exciting to have something fun going on. You know, maybe we hit.
You might want to just tell your buddy there to not use these to punch helmets.
Yeah. He apologized graciously. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't care about the apology. That's wonderful. Yeah, just don't punch hard things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the things always win.
Isn't that always the truth? Robbie, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. My Packers aren't rolling as strongly as the Bills right now, but still playing some enjoyable football up in Green Bay. Everyone's still a little nervous to see what happens with A-Rod next year. Hopefully he wants to stay, but it's not feeling like that.
You never know with him. He's such a fickle dude that he could change his ideas any moment. The team, though, seems like they're set up for life post A-Rod in a pretty good place, regardless of what he really decides to do.
A.J. Dillon's looking solid. He's been more involved the last couple weeks. Aaron Jones is always a beast, but they've got an easy out in his contract. So, yep,
maybe this new roster
could look very different next year.
Yeah, poor Mason forgot which way straight was.
Hey, he won it in overtime. For kickers. He won it in overtime.
That's true.
It's true. He did get it when it truly mattered. And, playing Cincinnati. That game just had a Cincinnati feel to it. Full bungle there for the kicker's room.
It did.
All right, boys. Well, let's get into it, and we'll talk a little bit about the news. Now, one of the things that we want to lead off here with is the interesting situations that develop when we have these European games. And it seems that every year, you would expect that the NFL wants to put its best foot forward. And if we're engaging a new market as a product placement standpoint thing, wouldn't you think you'd want to send your flagship to represent you in a new place and show people what the best thing possibly could be? So the NFL's response to that is to send the Jaguars on a continual basis to highlight for the league what American football is to a European market. Why, for the love of God, must we send the Jags? Besides the Jags, really, that's their only chance at making money. Robbie, any thoughts?
I don't know a whole lot about it. My understanding is it has something to do with local stadium attendance. Frankly, the Jaguars, no one cares. They installed a pool to try and make their games more fun because, hey, why don't, come watch us lose by 21 points or come watch us lose by 21 points in a pool.
With a pool.
It's a strong selling point.
With a pool. Hey, nothing says enjoy the losing like human soup.
So as long as they stink and no one wants to go to Jaguars games, I don't see this changing anytime soon. And I imagine the Jaguars are eager to do it because they can go sell out a massive stadium and I'm sure extremely marked up tickets and enjoy that revenue stream.
And they are truly massive stadiums. So, Brandon, what do you think here? Is there any hope for a legit game out of a Miami-Jacksonville matchup?
No, not really. My theory on, why the London games always are between two pitiful teams is that the league is doing all the good teams a favor. Hey, you just made the playoffs. You don't have to play in Jacksonville. Kind of like a hard knock situation. Where the bad teams, hey, you went 3-4 14 last year. All right, you're going to London. We're going to ship you off. But as far as this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, the quarterback matchup is kind of interesting with Tua coming back and another week of Lawrence progressing. He looked super comfortable last week. And we'll see, you know, the ever changing Urban Meyer saga week to week is just, you know, gets more interesting and more interesting. But I'm not super excited for the game.
I still maintain that offense is written in crayon, but that's all right. Evidently, it's washable crayon, and they're just keeping the good stuff and washing away the bad. And with that, and we'll talk Urban Meyer shenanigans a little bit later in our coaches being naughty section. But as we look at it, the Jags have started to become particularly fantasy relevant. And Kit, with Lawrence and now Robinson actually getting legit run, is it starting to look like we're having more and more value out of a Jacksonville team that we thought might actually be bereft of fantasy value?
So I've mildly changed my opinions. I always thought it would have been an overreaction to say they're irrelevant after 1 or 2 weeks, but I was strongly tempering expectations to the point of, you know, not heeding my own advice. I think now it's going to be one of the situations where it's a bad team, still a bad team, but maybe it's a bad team that plays from behind and throws enough with enough competence that, you know, there are a couple, not even just usable, but pretty good fantasy guys. I think Chark being, I don't know if it's necessarily done for the season, but 10 to 12 weeks or whatever, you know, effectively the fantasy season. I think that should open up things for Jones and Chenault, and then Robinson, I think, you know, I don't know why he didn't figure out based on the film he saw, but Meyer figured out, okay, this is one of our better options to actually do something on offense. So he can continue to get run. So I'm sort of, if people are still cold on them, I would be a little hot and try to jump in there and grab them.
Yeah. One thing that we have to give them a little, if nothing else, a modicum of credit for is that they've recognized that Carlos Hyde is not a lead back,
yeah,
and that they had one in Robinson.
Yeah.
Starting off the season as somebody who traded for Robinson in a couple of different leagues, I started to sweat pretty bad, pretty fast, that it was going to get ugly and they were just going to waste carries continuously. But it seems like water has found its level and Robinson has gotten the ball back. All right, let's look around the rest of the league. And for the next few things, we're going to talk the impact of injury. Juju Smith-Schuster, contract year is officially over. He is done for the season, having to get his shoulder repaired. And Brandon, what does that do for the Steelers then?
Yeah, so it's difficult to convey this over a podcast, but I implore everyone listening right now to check out the heat map of Big Ben's passes this year. You can find it just by Googling NFL Next Gen Stats. It's a great website, a lot of different stuff on there, charts, but basically all his passes barely go beyond the line of scrimmage, except for, you know, some to the left side, no further than 10 yards pretty much. And so when you combine that with the uninspiring play calling from Matt Canada, which I'm not thrilled with, I don't see a ton of upside in the other receivers. Najee is going to get the volume no matter what, but I'm not thrilled with how the outlook of Claypool or Deontay Johnson looks.
Now, Najee broke out to the tune of 122 yards this past week, scoring his first touchdown and still catching 3 or 4 passes for another 30 or 40 yards, translating to, depending on your scoring metrics, a 22 to 28 point day. And he's currently sitting anywhere between RB6 and RB8, which for a rookie is pretty darn impressive. Kit, do we see this absence of Juju providing more opportunity for Najee in the passing game, or is it more likely to head towards like a Freiermuth and an Ebron?
So I think it's hard for him to see more. I mean, he's up there in receptions and targets for all running backs in the league. The 1 week was comical to the point of being detrimental. I don't think they want to be doing that. So maybe you throw that as an outlier. And then, yes, I expect him to be a solid pass catching running back. And for that to continue, this make sure there's not a blocker to continue. I would disagree to some extent with what Brandon said, because I don't think I actually do think James Washington is a little bit talented, but I don't think there's a natural replacement for Juju on that team. I think Deontay definitely gets a little bump because they do like just throwing it straight to him on screens and like slants and drags and things like that. And so I think he's someone who could be utilized there. And so Freiermuth is the other person I would sort of bring up. We'll see if his split with Ebron sort of continues to, the gap continues to increase. But he's looked competent in his couple of games.
Yeah, so far Freiermuth's been on the plus side of the 60-40 split, and it's starting to lean more like 70-30. Ebron's in a contract year and likely on his way out. Plus, he drops everything near him anyway. So it's nice to have the sure-handed Freiermuth. And his blocking acumen is a bit of a throwback compared to some of the older Steeler tight ends that were so popular in the city for so long. So, Robbie, if you had to take one, are you looking more at Claypool, or are you looking more at Johnson here for, as the wide receiver to have in Pittsburgh?
I think both of them are going to increase in their target share, and I don't really see a jump coming to any other skill position player. I think you know, Freiermuth continues to do what he does. I'm not looking to pick up I'm not looking to pick up James Washington off waiver wires anywhere. Najee's going to be Najee, but I think if there's going to be a Juju light on the team, it's got to be Deontay Johnson. They've got similar builds. They both excel at operating near the line of scrimmage, which is, you know, like Brendan said, if you've seen Big Ben's heat map, it looks like a three-year-old trying to learn how to throw a baseball. It's embarrassing. I forget what the record is, but I know Big Ben now owns the NFL record for, I believe, like most fourth down passes that don't even travel to the line of scrimmage in a season now. He's got multiple dump-offs on like 4th and 8, 4th and 10, and Najee that travel 2 yards.
So bad.
It's rough out there being a Steelers fan right now and watching Big Ben's great career just drop off. So to trash talk all of them, maybe Deontay gets a slight bump.
Now
slight bump, and I don't think anyone else really gets a boost.
I would quickly just point out that I expected the Broncos. I know they had played bad teams, but I expected the Broncos, who have a good defense, to really make Ben look bad. And then they won that game, and the offense was a little different. You know, they were running the ball a lot more. Not saying that the last 20 games of data should be thrown out, but maybe it's something that they realize they have a problem. They're going to try to figure it out with Najee and the talent they have.
What I will say about the Steelers is that it finally looked like that offensive line had developed a bit of continuity. And playing together, there's no substitute in the world for playing together as an offensive line. The individual communication, the just knowing your partner and knowing where the guy to your left and right is going to be, is an innate thing that only happens through repetitions. And especially with trying to get two rookies integrated and up to speed, and then moving Okorafor back to the right side and getting everything up to speed instantly, takes time and effort. And it felt in that game like they were able to turn a bit of a corner right from the jump when they hit that first like 8 yard rush. That felt different. And watching the game, there weren't those like tragic letdowns that there had been in previous weeks. So, you know, maybe there's some hope. But speaking of hope, let's look at Kansas City, because as the Bills showed us here, there are dents in the armor here in the mighty Chiefs. And can we actually trust the Chiefs? Are they going to continuously be this juggernaut? Because we're starting to see evidence that individual players that had been so consistent are starting to either regress or fall into that boom or bust, like Tyreek Hill being the definition of mercurial, and Kelce, the unflappable Kelce, actually disappearing for a week. So, Kit, can we trust the Chiefs?
So, I think yes, because I think they have the type of offense where you can't trust Byron Pringle, you can't trust DeMarcus Robinson, you couldn't trust Sammy Watkins, right? But they are really focused. And yes, they've been more boom-bust this year, and I think that's the nature of sort of exploiting the matchup at hand, right? And so I agree, you have to decide if you love the boom-bust players, but when your boom is 185-3 and like your bust is like, you know, 4-46 – it's livable, right? So the big two and Mahomes, I'm still all in on without any hesitation. You know, I think we're going to talk about CEH a little later, but I was starting to like what was going on there, but the usage is kind of always not great. So yeah, I think for the big two in Mahomes, I'm not shaking at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mahomes is definitely the one to keep if you're in a dynasty format here, as we all are. Mahomes is the unwavering favorite to keep. But if you had to move one, Brandon.
Well, right now, Mahomes is QB1, Tyreek QB2, and Kelce tight end 1.
Like, that's exactly it.
That's and it, that right?
The booms are making up for the bust.
And that's where I was leading it. Is it time to consider trading some of these others and move them at the first whiff of regression? Or is it just weather the storm and deal?
No, if you're a contender and you have any one of those guys, you couldn't pry them from my hands. They have Patrick Mahomes throwing them the ball. They are the best or the second best, you know, receiver, tight end at their position. Like, they're studs, and that's what you need to win fantasy championships.
No question. They're absolute machines, and they'll figure it out. If anything that we've seen in the recent history of the Chiefs is they'll figure it out. So, Robbie, CEH is damaged at the point at this moment, and he was already having a tough year to begin with. Where does help come from here? What do they do?
It's a plug and play. Damian's going to get the carries. He was already eating into CEH's workload before the injury. I think he's the lead back, and Jerick McKinnon is going to get some. It's not going to be enough where he's got fantasy relevance, but you know, Jerick McKinnon can still contribute to an offense. I think it's going to be more passing, a little less running, and I think they have to. I mean, this defense is horrible. They might have the worst defense in the NFL, and they're going to have to continue relying on Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Kelce to put points on the board and keep up on to prevent getting boat raced by opposing defenses. So I think Damian has a RB2 appeal, maybe some weekly upside RB1 if you get some goal line touchdowns. I don't think he's a big play threat. I think you're going to get some steady points, a couple receptions, a couple good carries, and you're praying for a touchdown every week from him.
So there's a leak now that they're starting to look to the outside, and as the trade deadline approaches, there's some backs that probably could be had. There's a possibility that one of the different backs in Baltimore, because they are just rolling through the turnstile, could be a fit there. There's some talks that maybe somebody from one of the other teams could become available. Are there any names that stand out to anybody as a flyer here that we might want?
I saw Marlon Mack linked. I'm not sure who tweeted it out, but I believe there was some interest in Marlon Mack. And I mean, that would be a massive upgrade.
It felt a little bit like a report from Marlon Mack's agent. Like, sources tell me the Chiefs might consider looking into trading for Marlon Mack ahead of the deadline. But still, I agree. I mean, what that would really do is it would just kill CEH's value, at least for this year. But I think he's looked good in the couple. I mean, watched the whole Monday night game, and with his touches, he looked good. So, you know, if I were them, what's the price going to be? A fifth, a sixth? Like, I can't imagine they're looking for much in compensation.
The Colts are actively shopping him. I mean, I can't imagine take much at all.
They probably just take whatever you offer them.
Brandon, any names, any thoughts?
No, I mean, CEH was the most talented back, right? And if they are just filling in as guys with similar roles, but with less talent, I don't see a spot for them on my team.
I agree. Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, if there's help to be had on the outside, I think the only place that really makes sense to look is probably Baltimore. Because now, I always screw up this first name. I think it's Tyron Williams. His touches from the beginning of the season. Tyson. See, I did it. Always do it.
I nodded. He got it. He got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. His touches have declined greatly, but the young man definitely showed the speed to be a capable player. Could be had cheap, I would imagine, since Latavius Murray has functionally taken over the position. And whoever else is there anyway is only a one-year placeholder until J.K. Dobbins gets back next year. So the expectation would be that player could be had, and maybe he's the fit that CEH never was.
There's one more team a tanking team that has, I believe, the oldest roster in the NFL. The Houston Texans have a bunch of random dudes in their backfield. Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay.
They do have 11 running backs.
Yeah, those guys could be had for next to nothing, and I think they're better than Jerick McKinnon. So maybe the Texans are a fit.
You know, Lindsay has been a show favorite here for a while. JJ is a big Lindsay guy. It'd be awesome to see him get an opportunity in a high power offense like that. He might be a quality fit there. He's demonstrated the ability to catch the ball. He's a quality running back, at least between the 20s. So it'd be very interesting to see if they could get him for next to nothing, because he's on a 1-year deal anyway. So it seems like actually kind of a perfect fit. As we leave that, we talk more about damaged quarterbacks now. Russ's hand is busted and bad. Talking pins, screws, and other. And at least a 4-week absence, probably more like 4 to 6. I've seen some numbers going possibly as long as 8, depending on surgery and complications. That means it's Geno time, unless they do something about this externally. I don't think they will, with Eason in the wings there on the practice squad. That's kind of an odd deal. The Jacksonville cast off will be the backup to Geno. And Geno looked pretty good in the preseason. Are there any thoughts about Russ and kind of the long-term deal here? Kit, we'll start with you.
Sure. I'm sure Rob will have a lot to say to this, just a continuation of this crappy end of season play, but it's early in the season. I still think, you know, I mean, if someone's selling him based on this, I'd go after it, but it hurts all of their skill positions, I think. I mean, Geno Smith has proved to be not a very good quarterback. I think he could be competent, and they have a decent enough team around him. He could win some games, but I think he's going to lower the ceiling and the floor of you know, Metcalf, Lockett, even Carson, because Carson's been, you know, kind of basically doing it off the back of his red zone work so far. So, I'm not particularly worried about Russ as a dynasty asset, right? I mean, I think I wasn't particularly high on him before, but I think acknowledge he's a good player, right, and someone you should want to have on your team. But, yeah, really more concerned what it means for the other people on his team.
We'll hear more about this from our friends on the Sister Pod. They're telling us all about it from the medical perspective. They'll use way better than pins, screws, and badness. So definitely tune into the next man up to find out like real medical things instead of my gibberish. But Brandon, let's look around at other damaged goods quarterbacks. Brady has a thumb issue that looked pretty not great, but swears is absolutely fine. Did he just miracle some holistic stuff, or is he like the Brady bot just fine for Thursday night? Or is this possibly an opening for Philly to steal one?
Nope. He's just fine. He's a robot. He sold his soul to the devil. He'll be just fine.
I love that. That is the best answer possible.
He just drank a lot of water. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
Ice. Lots of ice. Yeah. Robbie, Trey Lance has a knee issue coming off his first start, which was mixed, right? Some good, some bad, some rookiness. So what's the scoop on Lance? Any ideas?
Trey Lance looked like a deer in headlights out there. Apart from the running ability, he did not look NFL ready. I think the bigger question is Jimmy Garoppolo healthy? Because I think the 49ers want to go back to Jimmy G and use Lance in packages, maybe rest him for a week with the knee issue going on. I don't want Lance on my roster on a redraft format at all. I think get rid of him. He's not going to be playable this season, even if he has a rushing upside. And, I mean, shoot, I don't want Jimmy G for that matter either. But maybe there's a window to buy low if he continues to play, continues to struggle, especially if he doesn't offer the rushing upside with a bum knee. But, I mean, man, it scares me how bad he looked out there passing.
Yeah, we're hoping for a 50% completion percentage, right? But that's rookie quarterbacks, in particular rookie quarterbacks from small schools with minimal experience. They didn't play
for an entire year.
Yeah, they knew the calculus coming in and what it was going to be. They mortgaged the farm to get him, but they did that as a calculated risk looking at this year's quarterback crop. And if you paid any attention to college football, the quarterback crop has done nothing to distinguish itself, minus a fella down there in Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's right.
So, Brandon, thoughts on Lance? What, like, long-term, are we worried here? I mean, I know it's a short-term injury, but...
No, I'm not worried. If there's one good thing that you can take away from, you know, his outing this weekend was that he whips that ball, man. Like, he can fire that thing with some velocity. So that's really, really cool to see. But no, he looked exactly like a guy who has played one FCS game since 2019.
Yep.
He's looked exactly like you would expect. So there's no reason to be any, you know, more down on him than you were since he got drafted.
Yeah.
They are what they thought they were.
Oh, nice. Way to sneak that in. Yeah. The arm talent is obvious. The spin rate on the ball is ridiculous. Yeah. Dude's got an abject cannon. You can see all the measurables. The workouts had to be phenomenal because even the closed door ones that we never did get this film leaked from had to just blow the doors off of him. The guy is a phenomenal athlete. Kit, the Giants have a quarterback with a busted in dome. I mean, a concussion. Daniel Jones is working his way back, and as they're saying in the press, progressing nicely. Do we see Daniel Jones this week, do you think?
First of all, Daniel Jones doesn't need his head to play quarterback. second of all, because he's that good. I saw something actually a more detailed report about it, I guess, which said that like before practice officially started, he like had his helmet on and was taking snaps, stuff that like probably is in violation of the concussion protocol, but points me toward thinking that he's probably going to play. So I think he's fine.
Is Joe Judge like not long for the coaching world here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens if Gettleman gets fired. I think it's very up in the air. I would want them to clean house because I hate the idea of doing the Bears thing, right, where you bring in a new GM and then you stick around with the old coach for a bit and then you fire that old coach and then 2 years later you fire that old GM and like it just is a constant cycle of shit. So if they do decide to pass on Gettleman, I'd actually, as much as I think the jury's out on Judge, and I think there's some good things about him, I'd want to just move on and just sort of have a new regime decide its guy.
I got you. Yeah, if that should be the new team's prerogative. If the new management team comes in, they should have the prerogative to decide what they want to do with everything. It's starting to look like the draft pick may be high. If there's a guy they decide they really like, that might be the thing. I mean, Saquon's ankle looked absolutely ghastly.
Yeah, they're saying 2 to 4 weeks, but it didn't look good.
Oh, those pictures were ugly.
I was surprised it wasn't a high ankle sprain from watching that live. And, you know, it is good news it's a low ankle sprain, but, man, that thing ballooned quick.
It does, but that's a pin pop to drain. So it's one of those things where it might look ghastly, but they may be able to just remove the swelling and get the juices out of it. All right, I'm done now.
yeah, thank you.
From one weird thing to another, and this feels like the most Raider thing ever. We'll just not sugarcoat this and start with John Gruden is a complete scumbag of a human. And we're not going to go into the emails because they are absolutely ghastly in this era or just about any of them. Remember, folks, that what's the E in email for? It's
permanent.
It's evidence. If you put that in type and send it digitally, it doesn't go bye-bye. And we've seen this in virtually every walk of life where bad things typed and saved come back. And this definitely seems like a pattern for him. And I'm just going to say this now. If this wasn't an honest to God work email, imagine what this dude's private email was. Or imagine what this dude's actual thoughts were. Because that is a flipping work email. That's not like it's just like a bunch of buddies in a chat room or something. So, wow, it's bad. So, Robbie, we'll start with you. Does he work again?
No. I don't think he comes back as an announcer. I don't think
definitely not that.
Oh, with him. Even less likely.
He's far more radioactive to the media. Imagine
that Gruden thought he'd get away with it. Gruden's such a dinosaur. You know, it's old boys talk. I'm sure he heard about the NFL investigating him from his time in Washington. He printed out the emails, ran them through the shredder, thought he was in the clear. Didn't know better.
I feel like the old commercials. That's not how any of this works.
I think the main point of this, though, is that they the investigation was with the Washington football team. They weren't investigating the Las Vegas Raiders. So Gruden got implicated, but this is just the tip of the iceberg, I think. There's going to be a whole heck of a lot more that comes out of this than just John Gruden.
Oh, I think the NFL isn't going to let that happen. Like, I think that there was theoretically this was a leak because there was an agreement that anything discovered would be a financial or something. I saw that as part of the investigate or be confidential, not financial, as part of the investigation. So I think maybe there'll be some people who do decide to leak it, right, for reason X or reason Y, but there's no way the NFL is releasing these 65,000 emails or their 6,500 or 65,000, I don't know, and their contents, because there's got to be so much damaging shit on there. I mean,
you know it's a bad deal when a Davis is saying no comment.
Yeah, yeah.
Just internalize that one and let it tumble around for a minute.
Yeah.
The Davis family is saying, no, we're not talking about this. And they have never said that before, ever, under any circumstance. So
like Mayock is putting his foot in his mouth there, and he might be out
the door. Wait, what did he say? I thought he said, like, this was bad, and
he agreed it was bad, but I don't know.
Did he try to qualify it a little bit or something?
There was some hedging, like, I can't believe this is where society's heading these days type of remarks.
Okay.
While admitting it's bad, and it wasn't a great look.
I just saw Derek Carr quote, love the man, hate the sin.
And, you know, he was absolutely handpicked by Gruden to come there. So if there's a question for a new coach, right, he might be gone to you.
That could be a complete clean house. It's hard to say. I don't know what the way forward is for them. But I know the immediate way forward for them is to make their special teams coach the acting head coach, which may very well change things on the field. Yeah, Kit?
So I was going to say, it did seem like even, I think only the Morris Smith comments had come out as of last game, but they played with no fire. Like, it felt like a team that quit on their coach, honestly. Like, my friend who doesn't watch that much football was like, they don't look like they're playing hard. It's like, yeah, maybe there's a thing here. I don't know. Yep.
For a team that had a fairly promising start, let's pick up the pieces and put the scumbags to the side and focus the on-the-field questions. Fantasy-wise and schematic-wise, do we see significant change here? Gruden was all about not running the ball, even though they spent additional money on another running back. Yeah, because that's what you do when you get Mike Mayock to be a GM. And then don't give him any say. The original split was Gruden had 51% of control. Mayock had 49%. So Gruden won any tiebreakers by default. Now that that pendulum has swung, according to an ESPN article, and now the new acting head coach is getting significant sway in player personnel and decision-making. So that to me screams that maybe Brandon Jacobs might actually be useful again.
Josh.
That one too.
Yeah. Both. I was so confused.
Yeah, no. My bad. No, not the former Giant, but this Jacobs and Kenyon Drake for that matter. Do we see any particular players benefiting from this switch in the coaching staff and philosophy?
I mean, Jacobs can't be worse, but I'm not convinced it's going to get better for him. Hopefully the special teams coach knows that Josh Jacobs knows how to catch a freaking football and can be used as a weapon out of the backfield besides running straight up the middle. But that's yet to be determined. I imagine the offensive coordinator is going to be handling a lot of the day-to-day, and he was under Gruden, and he wasn't passing the ball to Josh Jacobs. So I don't have a whole lot of faith, but maybe this is an opportunity to buy low on Josh Jacobs, especially if he comes out and continues to not get receiving work next week.
It's an interesting question. I think we're going to learn a lot this week as to both the pride in the organization as to whether the team wants to get behind this guy. And usually your special teams coach is like the king of the rah-rah dudes. So maybe if there's anybody who can develop some kind of fight and get back, they are 3-2. So it's not bleak here. Brandon, do we see any swings here?
No, I don't think any of us really know enough about this new guy to say either way. They still sold off most of their offensive line in the offseason. But either way, they have the Chargers and the Chiefs in their division. So what's the best they could hope for?
True enough, man. The warts remain, but the outlook for Waller is still what it was. The outlook for Ruggs, the arrow is still pointed up, to use a Tomlinism. We'll see what happens down the line. Derek Carr is still slinging the rock and has been productive and will continue to be productive. At least that's what we all hope for.
I hate to hijack.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Hijack this. But while we're on Raiders, I was pulling the coaching odds for Vegas. We can get into that later. Good. There are odds for Gruden's next gig. Number one is podcast. Number two is work for Fox News. There's 3-1 odds on working for Fox News.
Ooh, 3-1. Nice. He might get like a job as like TCU's defensive coordinator in a couple years. I don't know. It's not out of the question.
Ooh, I don't even know if he gets D1.
Fifth down the line, coaching. Yeah.
College.
Being a member of a college coaching staff.
Okay. What's that, like 40-1?
Head coach. 12-1 odds. Not terrible.
He has made his bucks, so he can ride off into the sunset and go away.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I'm good to never hear from John Gruden ever again.
Yeah, I was never one of the Chucky stands.
I'll be fine as an analyst, and he wasn't a great.
I think even as an analyst, he was. Yeah, he was pretty bullshit. Like Gruden's grinders. He wasn't like breaking shit down.
And we're talking about a head coach who has a career record of 117-112, with one Super Bowl win that he inherited from Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Not a whole lot of great there in that resume. But let's talk about some things that are truly great. And it seems fitting that we come back to a quarterback like Lamar Jackson here, who is seemingly turned a quarter. We're already at 5 weeks in now, 1500 passing yards. He's number 5 QB in terms of total passing, 8 TDs to 3 INTs. Acceptable, right? But when you add the rushing yards, if you just take the rushing yards alone at 341, he is the 8th best running back in terms of total yardage gained. Just let that wash over you for a second. Yes, he's lost some fumbles. He's fumbled 4 and lost 3 of them, but he's also added 2 touchdowns to offset that. And he's among the most sacked quarterbacks with 13 sacks on the season this far. This is the point in the show where I have to swallow my pride and admit that I was wrong, that he has definitely progressed. And, you know, if I'm going to sling the mud, I have to give the praise where it's due, and it is abjectly due. The weapons we thought that were going to aid him coming from the draft have all been injured or gone or both, and he's doing it with the same cast of characters. So, quality job, Lamar Jackson. Good on you, because there's not much else there helping you. Although, some of the catches that Andrews made this past week, things of beauty. Sweet stuff. And that takes a lot for me to say.
Yeah.
So, with this season on the way for Lamar Jackson, Brandon, is there a chance that he ends up the league MVP?
No, I don't. I think he might deserve it, but even then, I don't think he has a chance to win from the voters. And I say that because he's already won, and I compare it a little bit to Giannis in the NBA, where his MVP season was so great. It was such a jump up from his previous seasons. And it was like a step, basically saying he made it and he's arrived. Well, this season, Nikola Jokic won NBA MVP, but Giannis had very, very similar stats to his MVP season, and the votes weren't there. And I think this will be a similar situation to Lamar, where there's other guys now, Kyler, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, where they haven't yet won, but they have now taken these steps. And I think narrative is a big part of MVP voting for the voters. And so I don't see Lamar winning over those guys.
Robbie, do you think Lamar could will his team's road to the AFC North Division Championship?
Oh, without a doubt. I think the AFC North Championship is not nearly of lofty expectation. I think with the Steelers regressing, the Browns being good, but I mean, it's a 2-man race between them and the Browns, and I think they've got a slight edge.
No love for the Bungles, man. They are better. They're better.
They're better than what better they ain't were good. Last year, but they're not better than any of those teams.
They're better than what you thought they were, though. They were like a non-missed field goal away from being 4-1 after beating the Packers.
That's very true.
I think Joe Burrow is playing so well that he's going to save Zach Taylor's job to the detriment of the long-term outlook of the Cincinnati Bengals franchise.
It's entirely possible. Kit, we'll take you and have you go with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and now on the league-wide or the AFC-wide perspective. What are the chances they come out of the AFC?
I think solid. I mean, I think they have a good defense. They have a weirdly, not last game, but every other game for the last 40 games or whatever, have an amazing run game. I am a little concerned that the lack of running back talent. I mean, I agree with what you said. Either Tyson Williams looked good, but he must do some real football things that he's not good at for the staff to completely, you know, depreciate him for Latavius Murray. But I put him right up there. You know, I mean, I'm not saying the favorite by any means, but, you know, like Chargers a lot, like the Chiefs a lot, but I think they're one of the big four or five, which is a boring answer. I'm not going to get bold here. I guess if I had to bet, I'd bet they don't come out of the AFC, but I think they have a good chance.
I'm with you on that. And while we're here, all right, Kit, go ahead. Mike Williams time.
Mike Tell Will us about made, your guy. Mike Will made it. He had another explosive, awesome game. Won me a couple fantasy leagues. It was awesome. I actually happened to defeat him in one league, and I co-owned that team with my friends, so they were all mad at me because I was celebrating. Anyway, unfortunately, we do have the classic Mike Williams thing come up today that I have to say, as a truther, but also someone who's realistic, definitely really scares me. He missed today with a knee injury. Now, the implication was he injured it during the game and played through it, and he's fine, and this is sort of just making sure it's okay and resting him up. But any injury with Mike Williams' lower body, or his shoulders either, any injury to Mike Williams gets me a little concerned. So crossing my fingers, but I still believe it's going to continue to last if he's out there. He's going to be one of the top three targets in maybe the most high-powered offense in the league, and so that's going to work out for him.
Good on him. Let's hope it comes to pass, because Justin Herbert for MVP is alive and well. But the interesting thing about him is he even the MVP of his own team? Austin Eckler is an abject machine right now, the RB2 unquestioned. If you compile all his yardage and all of everything he's got going on right now, he's chugging in on pace to hit 335 fantasy points on the season. Pretty impressive. Actually, I looked at the wrong column. It's 405. That's even better.
But Don, to answer your question, is Justin Herbert even the MVP of his own team? Yes. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
It's always a QB.
It's kind of a softball there, too.
Well, right. Even, yeah.
Yeah. But talk about quality team building. Well, with that, fellas, it's game time. And today's game will it last? I'm going to give you a stat line progression, and then I did the math for you because that's just kind of the guy I am, and I just didn't want you to have to fuss with calculators on air. We're going to see if the stat line projections from 5 weeks in have a chance of making it through the season. Now, we're going to have short answers here. We want like 30 seconds to justify your position. Will it last? And our first one looks at the human freak, Derrick Henry, who is on pace for, even good for him, 2,176 rushing yards this year, if you extrapolate his five-week total. And he still hasn't had the Derrick Henry week. Yeah, he hung 182 one week, but I'm still waiting for that, like, 215, just insane showing that he's given us before. Right now, he's on pace for 450 fantasy points, which is on pace to obliterate his career best fantasy output. Will it last? Brandon, we'll start with you.
Yeah, and I don't even need 30 seconds because I just have two words. Built different.
Abjectly. Can he string it the whole year?
I mean, I'm going to say no, but it doesn't matter. He's going to finish as likely the RB1, if not the top three RB. You know, I've been a hater and I've been eating crow for 2 years, and still just at this point, I'm just going to ride it out. I'm being a hater. I don't think he's going to like seriously regress or get bad or anything like that. That's just pretty obscene. I think he does have a couple multi-touchdown games at least already. So, you know, maybe that backs off a little bit. So, but it doesn't matter. You want him. If you're a contender, he's like your number one target. Go get him. If you have him, keep him and enjoy it.
Yeah, you can only cook crow so many different ways before you just have to give in and change your opinion.
Yeah.
Robbie, thoughts quick?
No, he doesn't do it. His 16-game pace would set the NFL record for carries by like over 50, 55 carries. Wow. And then you add in another game. I mean, yeah, he's built different. I've been trashing him year after year. But, I mean, come on. The guy can't break the NFL record for carries by 80. It's not happening.
That sounds like a challenge to Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a hold my beer coming.
Don't let him hear that.
I'm with you guys. He is built different, and I think it's going to happen with the extra week. The guy is just Tonka tough. It should be like right across the chest. It's amazing how good he is and will continue to be. Next is a rookie who has just absolutely erupted onto the scene after a trash preseason and a whole lot of questions, has done nothing but catch touchdowns and hang yards. Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati has moved right back in with his former college roommate to just do marvelous things. Currently, he has 456 yards receiving with 5 TDs, 1 a week, and 23 catches only. It's an insane 19.8 yards per catch. Ridiculousness. That extrapolates to 1,558 yards and 78 catches for a grand total of 334 fantasy points. Can we trust a rookie to do it all? Kit, what do you think?
No. I think the key thing you said there was the 19.8 yards per catch, or maybe 18.9, whatever it was.
Insane.
Yeah, he's had a couple really big plays. And not to say that his talent hasn't been part of creating those really big plays, right? I mean, he might be somebody who has lots of big plays, as Sean Jackson did. But even then, you're not going to do it at this rate, right? I mean, last week, I remember my one team didn't start him in redraft. And I was like, thank God we didn't start him, right up until the second he caught a 70-yard bomb. So I think he's still great. You know, no qualms. Love the guy. I think he's going to end up being a great player. But that's unrealistic that he would actually put up 15, 50, and 17.
Robbie, any hope?
I think there's some hope. He's already the alpha on the team. He's got a knack for getting open downfield, and it's going to continue. And the connection with Burrows is there. So as long as he gets open downfield, the yards per catch are going to stay high, and so are the touchdowns.
Yeah, his catch rate isn't great, but his target rate is. He's actually got 23 catches, but 38 targets. So he's getting the looks. It's just converting that into actual production, which he's done, but just – if that number comes up, oh, man. Brandon, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to stay positive here. And kind of to Kit's point, he has relied on the big play a little bit. But the flip side of that is that's all he needs to, you know, have a great week for you. And garbage time is going to keep happening for the Bengals with their terrible defense. So they're going to keep throwing to him.
But do you think they're the Chiefs? Like, I don't want to spend too much, but because is he Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs? Because that's literally the only situation I can think of in recent memory where you can sustain yourself to this level, not to say not even like, you know, wide receiver 12 or something like that, but so to this level on the back of huge, crazy bombs.
So, Kit, statistically, I would say yes, that he is very similar to Tyreek Hill, but he actually has something that Hill doesn't, which is two legit wide receivers around him. So you can't just roll the coverage at him because then Higgins and Boyd abjectly feast.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, maybe they have some advantages there. I don't think of the Bengals as the 2019 Chiefs, but yeah.
Who knows? We might be at the end saying, who dat?
Who dat?
Who day? Who day going to beat them Bengals? All right. One speedy wide receiver to another, Hollywood Brown has seemingly come out of nowhere to absolutely produce. He's kicking in right now at about 90 receiving yards a game. And if we look at that with his touchdown rate and everything, that extrapolates to 350 points on the nose. It's a crazy statistical anomaly that there was no decimal there. Can Hollywood keep this up? Because he's never done it before. So let's see. Rob, what do you think?
He can keep it up. He's hinted at it previously.
Well, I don't care what he says.
Yeah, yeah. Every player says that they're going to go for 1,510.
I mean, hinted at it. You know, he's always been able to get open. He struggles some drops. They seem to be gone this year, apart from one egregious game where he caught 3 touchdowns. He can keep it up. The only thing that'll stop him is the other wide receivers getting healthy, but I don't think that will take away a whole lot from his yardage and touchdowns total.
Brandon?
Yeah, I'm 3 for 3. I'm going to stay positive. I think he can keep it up with one caveat, that he stays healthy. So, you know, as long as he's on the field, I think he's going to keep putting up numbers because, like we said earlier, Lamar Jackson, absolute stud. He can throw the ball like a stud. And Hollywood's gonna feast.
Kit.
Not the touchdown a game, I don't think. I think Bateman coming back will distribute things a little more. Watkins coming back as well. I mean, you know, the word can is maybe a little bit open for interpretation. Yes, there's definitely a chance that he finishes with, you know, whatever that is, 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. But my prediction is he does not. But that being said, my prediction is he's a lot closer to that than what my prediction would have been 5 weeks ago, right? So I think no matter what, he's locked into my mind that he is a good fantasy asset and startable player. So.
Definitely. If you got him before, you got him at a bargain. And speaking of bargains, the waiver wire darling of the year, unbelievable. If any team would do it, I would have never picked the Falcons. But here it is, Cordarrelle Patterson, fantasy juggernaut, free to anyone who wanted him in over 90% of leagues, is on pace for 346 fantasy points this season, kicking in at right about 20.4 points per game. Insane. And the numbers bear the totals. He's only getting about 5 catches a week, which is totally sustainable for 59 yards receiving. And he's getting about 35 rushing yards per game with about a touchdown, depending on which way it comes for each week, adding up to the crazy 20.4. God, no one else in the league has been able to do it. But Brandon, is this fixed?
No, it's not. And I'll tell you why. Kyle Pitts had his breakout game. That's only the beginning. That's going to keep happening. Last game, Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage were hurt. They'll get back on the field and take the targets that they need. So, no, he's going to slow way down. If you're a contender or a seller and you have them, I would dish them out for whatever you can get reasonably.
Kit?
I would say maybe. I don't know. I mean, the Falcons don't have much. Looks like they're going to be a bad team. Some of this happened, one game of this happened with Ridley out, but he'd been doing fine with Ridley in. I don't think he's a dynasty asset per se, but I feel like he might be in a situation where like Arthur Smith is like, well, what else can I do? All right, I can get this really athletic guy the ball a couple times a game in unique situations. So again, I'm going to be boring in temper a little bit. I don't think he's going to put up 20 points a game, but I don't necessarily think if you're a contender, he's an auto flip. Right, I think he's somebody who could maybe think about being a weekly flex for you.
Robbie.
He can absolutely do it. He's in a unique situation in that he's basically a running back and a wide receiver. So if this week the wide receivers were banged up, he can play a lot more wide receiver. Kyle Pitts feasted, but you know, I believe he had a solid game. I didn't look at the box score. He seemed to be getting involved when I watched part of that game. As the receivers get healthy, I imagine he will continue to get work out of the backfield, and it can continue. He's getting snaps all over the field, and it doesn't matter. There's always going to be someone banged up. He will play.
See, to me, the whole thing is that none of this is unsustainable. 5 catches a week is totally sustainable. There's 6 targets for just about anybody that you can put into an offensive game plan, because it's not like you have to throw at him 11 times to get the 5 catches. We're talking about 6 or 7, and that's doable on a team that really doesn't have a true wide receiver too. And really, if we're being brutally honest about it, doesn't really have an RB1. The rushing attempts, they're there. It's not like they had to be manufactured. it's they have no one else, and they're not going to find somebody because this team's not spending draft capital to get it. So, yeah, for this year, it can totally work. And it's not like he's over the hill or anything. So, I mean, maybe they could build it in, but I really do think this is flash in the pan. But it could be that magical year-long flash in the pan. So, am I moving to get him? No. But if I snagged him off waivers, boy, am I a happy guy, because I got a really valuable fantasy piece for literally nothing. And those are the best ones, the free ones. All right, let's look forward to the Survivor weekends. Hopefully your Survivor polls have gone well and you guys are still in it to win it and didn't get sniped when the Giants got mashed the Saints. Or if you were like me and almost had a complete heart attack with the Vikings just snatching victory at the end of the Detroit game this past week, you're still with us in the mortal coil as well as the Survivor land. We got a couple games for you. We like to throw it in. I'm going to give you the Rams at Giants. Quarterback is unsettled. No Saquon. Likely no Kenny Galladay. Means that the 10.5 line is probably legit. It's a good week to take the Rams. Anybody else got a game they want to throw in there?
Yeah, I'll say you're wrong. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
All right. I just want to say, quarterback's unsaid. Saquon's probably out. But the quarterback uncertainty is probably adding a couple points there. Daniel Jones is in there. They're not losing by 11. They'll be with it. Giants aren't a good team, but they're weirdly competitive sometimes. I don't know.
They are weirdly competitive.
Right. Plus, it's really just 10.5 is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I just feel like that's the one I would take because.
Yeah, I wouldn't take them to cover, but I would take them. I would take the Rams to win.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just my mistake then.
No worries. Robbie, what game did you have, bud?
I'd probably lean Rams Giants. I think it's a smash win. If I had to pick a secondary game, I think Chiefs at Washington makes a lot of sense as well. Washington's pretty banged up on offense. Even though the Chiefs can't stop anyone, they can at least somewhat game plan for the two healthy weapons Washington has. And
particularly coming off a loss. Coming off a loss, the Chiefs are going to be extra motivated. That could get ugly for the WFT. Brennan, any games for us?
Yeah, the Chiefs are mine. Coming off the loss. That's it.
I'll throw one more for you guys. Texans at Colts. I feel like Davis Mills is no bueno. So give us the Colts here to survive and get us through. College games of the week. Oh, how I wouldn't want to be Mississippi State. You're about to walk into have a buzzsaw walk through your door here when they host Alabama coming in after the loss. That the line is 17, and I have Bama on the over and smash the over because they are gonna be mad. Otherwise, any other games? Anything notable?
Kentucky, Ole Miss to recover against Tennessee, 2.5.
Oh, definitely. I have Ole Miss to win that game.
Yeah, all the experts on The Athletic were all to pick Tennessee against the spread. Didn't like that. Anyway.
Kentucky went down to Georgia. Do the Bulldogs get tripped up, or is it feeding some Kentucky to some angry dogs?
I think it will be more competitive than most people think. Everyone wants to dog on Kentucky, but they're a veteran team who I think can play this year, but Georgia absolutely wins that game. It will just be one I want to watch.
Yeah. And personally, two teams that showed a lot in losing efforts last week, Arkansas and Texas. They have dynamic offenses. They're fun to watch, and Bijan Robinson is a monster. So with Oak State coming into Texas, that could be a really compelling game. All right, boys, time for tags. Brandon, lead us off.
I am on Twitter at BCTaff, but check out rideordynasty.com and read everybody's amazing articles that come out weekly.
Kit?
I'm at KitV underscore Dynasty FF on Twitter and KitKit123 on Reddit, trying not to argue too much.
Robbie?
You can find me on Reddit and on Twitter at TheRotoRob. And Kit, I was just thinking, if the Giants clean house and fire Joe Judge, there is a a coach
I know
resides in New York named him Adam Gase, and you know he.
Oh, don't you dare! Oh, I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say it means the end of Daniel Jones' run, which is the unfortunate side effect to me. But don't you dare!
Somebody
posted about like things that happened after Adam Gase left his place, and there is a high school record, a college record, and an NFL record of like teams winning championships the year after Adam Gase leaves. So just on that.
Robbie, don't put that into the universe. Poor kid. Yeah, oh, my Jesus God.
Christ.
Meanwhile, JJ's running around doing victory laughs like, somebody else can deal with him.
Yeah, John Mara's not that smart. It could happen.
Oh, we all hope not. As you know, guys, I'm the social media Sasquatch, and I retreat back into my cave after the podcast. But you can always reach out to us at Rider Dynasty, and we will get back to you in one way, shape, or form. Please check out RiderDynasty.com for all the latest. Our authors are putting out some quality stuff. And as always, please check out the Next Man Up podcast. They're putting out some tremendous stuff as medical professionals who can actually take the medical things and give you way better than pins, bars, and badness. So check those guys out. They'll be super useful to you. Thanks for listening. Look, we love it. The NFL is everything that keeps us going, and it's always compelling. Enjoy the games this week, folks. We'll talk to you soon.